All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, it's going to be one of those days. The 70% chance of rain is 100% true, as it's raining and it's pouring because Barry has thunderstorms of bad luck as the headphones are on the fritz. Again. Nick is here and his headphones are working fine.
I do that every day, but I don't have to be on the air right away like Barry.
I can't hear a word he's saying. I have no idea.
He says he does that every day, but he doesn't have to be on the air like you and you're a putz.
Well, you know, the battery died and I forgot to charge them. So I'm either going to have to bite the bullet and listen to AJ cry because I used his headphones, or find a USB charger and plug these bad boys in. So we'll figure it out here.
We will, but you will.
Okay.
I might have a USB charger.
I don't want anything from you.
That's perfect.
I want nothing.
Then we're on the same page.
Nothing
right
from
off
you.
The bat, we're on the same page. That's fantastic.
How about that rain, though?
You said you drove in it. I did not drive in it. But it looks like there, if you missed any of it, there's more on the way. Because the skies are ominous. And if you weren't on the north side getting it like you did, believe me, you won't be deprived based on what we see in the near future in the sky.
Thank you, Nick.
Absolutely.
For letting me use your headphones.
Yeah, it's easier for me to not have them on.
It was so bad, I almost pulled over driving in. That's how hard it was raining. And it was one of those rains where you have to turn the music down. You ever have to do that where you have to concentrate so you have to turn the radio off?
No.
You don't?
Turn the radio down because of the rain?
Yeah.
I turn the radio down when I'm trying to focus when I'm driving.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was so bad, like I couldn't see. I was like, this music is making me not be able to see. So I turned the radio off and then passed everybody on the Hardy. Because I'll drive fast in the rain. I just have to be able to focus.
Yeah, hydroplaning is not an issue, right?
I mean, it is. Okay. There might have been a few whoa while I was driving, but you know.
Moments?
Yeah.
Okay.
But hey, you know, I got here. So yeah, all good.
RIP to Buddy Balls. We talked about Bucky Balls yesterday with Charlie Palillo, but this morning I had to take our dog Buddy to the vet to get Buddy Balls taken care of.
I almost
felt like last night I should get him a steak. You know, it's like,
yeah, I mean, those were massive.
And Nick's seen him. Buddy had he had quite the pair. I mean, not anything like Tommy Heinsohn would be impressed with.
Right. We'll get to that. But they were a fairly, yeah.
Yeah.
I took a good look at it.
Yeah, my dog.
We're
was,
not skipping over this. Why are you guys studying a dog's testicles?
I'm not studying them. Nick couldn't take his eyes off of them.
No, when he brought the, I was there with him when he dropped the dog off or something. I forgot what it was.
Yeah.
And as he was approaching the door,
they were just there.
Like he sits on them. They're like, ow.
I think he might. I don't know.
Set him.
I think Nick said something about he hates to see him go, but loves to see him leave.
Because he was watching him. Nature at all.
So Buddy is blessed in the ball department, huh?
Yeah, Buddy had a couple of Titleist Pro V1s in a teabag.
You should have at least let Buddy get some sex before.
Yeah,
I mean, you could have taken him to a dog park and let him just hump whatever's there.
I have two female. That ain't happening though. No. That's not happening. One of them already bit him on the nose, so there's no love there. That's not gonna happen. I did think about, like I said,
I gave him
an extra good meal last night because you know he's not supposed to.
What was the meal?
Like wet food, a whole can of wet food with his dry food and.
It's not extra. That's not a good meal.
Man, I felt bad. Like driving him to the vet this morning, and he has to be there between 7 and 8, which means with traffic, I had to leave at like, you know, 6:45. And the whole way there, I'm sitting there going, man, you have no idea what they're about to do to you. And I feel really, really bad.
Are you having sympathy pains right now? Oh.
No, nothing like that.
Oh. You know the dog is not going to get any steak because the last time he's had a steak was probably last year.
No, we were at B&B.
Yeah, well, did you bring some steak for the dog?
No, I didn't bring steak.
You probably don't give the dog steak.
I would.
That's true.
Sure. But at the same time, I told Lisa just to see if it would, I could really get under her skin, kind of like, what was the movie, Better Off Dead? I was like, can I get a formaldehyde jar and just like put those things in the jar to honor at one point how well off he was? And she's like, that won't be happening. I'm like, I mean, look good on the mantle. Come on. You get a nice designer case for it and everything like that. Show that Buddy was once a real man.
Poor Buddy.
Yeah. Feel bad for the big guy, but oh well.
I had my cat's balls removed when he was a kitten, but
yeah.
Cats, you can't even really tell anyways. They're not like,
as Nick
there.
Will tell you could tell he was.
Yeah, they were massive. I was looking at them.
Yep. Cat's balls are tiny. Like, you don't even notice them.
I don't know
really.
That I've ever seen a cat's balls, but I
that's why, because they're tiny. You don't notice them. Like, if a dog walks away and he's got them, you're like, yeah, that's
this
an old
whole
man
first
right there.
Was about cat and dog balls.
Yeah, that's why people love us. And if and the kids aren't in the car yet, so you don't have to yell earmuffs.
That's right.
So, yeah, we got that. So I felt bad for Buddy. But hopefully, and then he's got to wear the, they of course, Lisa gets the newfangled stuff. So instead of wearing the plastic cone, you know, until the stitches are out, there's this new, like, inflatable one. And it just fits around the neck. It's almost like the sleeping
just
on a plane.
Just get him like the Hannibal Lecter mask where it's got the little bars on it.
No, because neighbors are already freaked out by him because he's a pit mix, so they all think he's gonna rip theirs off.
Okay,
but you get the, you know, like the sleeping horseshoe that people use on planes for your neck.
Yeah,
well, there's an inflatable one now for dogs that goes around the neck and you blow it up, and it's supposed to do the same thing as the cone. I'm like, the cone.
I'm not buying that for my dog.
Oh, Lisa bought it already.
So I'm not buying that.
I'm not buying any of that. Not even the cone. Whatever.
My house is Rover Oaks, so yeah,
my dog's gonna have to figure out how to be comfortable.
All my dogs get better stuff than I do. So I mean, Rover Oaks made sure that the inflatable.
You wanted a nice cone for your neck?
No, but I'm just saying. I mean,
to prevent you from licking your stitches.
She would rather go out and get like the nicest stuff for the dogs than anything for me.
By the way,
you guys get everything from Walmart. The dogs get, huh? Yeah.
Is that horseshoe thing that people use on the plane? That horseshoe pillow? Does that even work?
Some people swear by it. I saw a guy driving with one on the other day. I was like, really, dude? That you're taking it that far?
I mean, it's like driving with the pillow
driving
on his
with
neck?
Well, he may have
some neck issues.
Yeah, but still, then don't drive. What the hell are you doing? I don't want you falling asleep at the wheel. How would you be wearing one of those drives?
This thing is really comfortable right now.
Yeah, exactly, right?
I've never used anything like that because I've always felt like that's an old person's apparatus.
Except
I'm with
for
Nick.
When you're
would
on the
work?
Plane.
Does
even
it
on a
work
plane.
On a plane?
Every time I'm on a plane, people, there's like 20-30% of the plane has it.
Yeah, and they're all old people.
No.
Is it?
I've seen a lot of young people with them. But I'm just like, I've always wondered, like, curious, why do people swear by them like they work?
I don't know, but if you got hemorrhoids, it doubles as a cushion. And you can sit on it, too.
Or you could use it as the bird's nest in a public restroom.
I would never do that.
If you're at the airport, nope. you were drowsy, you got a nap in, and then you got to go real quick. You just drop that down on the
seat.
Have
to be one time use.
Oh, that's one place I don't know if I could bring myself to go and poop is at an airport. Oh man,
you and AJ, you side
talk
by
about
side stalls.
You talk about disease and disgust. Oh
yeah, there's no believe me. I mean, in an airport, people are trying to catch flights. They're letting it fly all over the place.
Oh God, that's so disgusting. I'd much rather crap on the plane and have everyone mad at me. Just looking at me like, really, dude?
Yeah. We get snakes on a plane. It's crap on a plane. That's what we're talking about. All right, so we got a full show for you today. Chronicle writer Jake Kaplan's going to join us. He's already taken a shot at what the playoff roster is going to look like for the Astros divisional series against the Red Sox starting Thursday at Minute Maid. So we'll talk to him about that about 3:15 this afternoon. But we got plenty more in between. Lots to talk about. The wild card game is tonight. We've got baseball to talk about from Yankee Stadium and a whole lot more. If you want to reach us and be a part of the usual suspects, as always, the HRNP listener line is open for texts and calls. 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, or you can hit us on Twitter where it's at the producer Nick, at Barry is funny, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're here till 3. I'm sorry, we're here till 4, but we'll pretend like we're here till 3.
I'm leaving at 3 now.
So we get more energy. Yeah. And we'll let someone else take over for us. No, we're here till 4, and we look forward to giving you a whole lot more in just minutes. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, all you football fans, the journey to Jacksonville has begun. We're giving away a trip for two to Jacksonville, Florida to see Houston take on Jacksonville. You can log on to 97.5.com and find out the three ways to qualify for the grand prize drawing on November the 24th. You can win a three-night stay at the DoubleTree by Hilton Hotel, downtown Jacksonville Riverfront. Go to the football game on December the 17th at Everbank Field and play a round of golf at the Hidden Hills Golf Club, all courtesy of Florida's First Coast of Golf. Visit Florida. And, of course, ESPN 97.5. Let's just say that would be divisional, if you know what I mean. So that's a neat little thing that we're giving away there. Very cool. Anything else on your mind, Barry, coming into the station before we get down to the sportsiness of sports?
Not really. No? I mean, you know, something from sports that occurred last night that I saw this article on For the Win where they showed Kirk Cousins cringing at the Chiefs fans during the national anthem. And I don't know if you guys saw this, but I was actually watching this at the time and had a thought. And it's similar to what happens here in Houston. And so I was just going to ask you guys or get your thoughts on it as well. Because during the national anthem, it as it ends, it says, in the home of the brave. But in Kansas City, the crowd yells, home of the Chiefs. So the whole crowd yells that. Here in Houston, during the national anthem, when they say Rockets Red Glare, the crowd, or at least the Red Rowdies, will yell Rockets really loud. And that's all fine. But in this day and age, when we talk about disrespecting the national anthem, which people like to twist into disrespecting the nation, disrespecting our veterans and everything else, is it disrespectful to change the words? Is it disrespectful to shout during the national anthem? When I saw them yell Chiefs instead of Braves, that was my first thought is, you're changing the national anthem, and you're shouting while it's being played and people are honoring it.
My question would be, do the Red Rowdies say Rockets or Rocket, or do they change the word technically?
They just kind of really cheer boisterously
they
loud
say Rockets
they say
really
the
loud.
Rockets Red
They say
player.
Rockets, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's wrong. I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess that's in a certain way.
And I'm asking. I'm not saying it is or it isn't.
So this was
I'm just
part
trying
of the press
to get
conference
here.
For Aaron Rodgers last week, where he said, so we did what we did with the pre-anthem kneel. Then we all stood locked arm in arm. And he said, and so, you know, for the most part, I think people were okay with that. He said, but I at the start of it, I noticed a lot of people cheering and yelling pro-USA things. He goes, and then I noticed a lot of people yelling a lot of derogatory things. And he goes, and then it becomes apparent to me that I have to ask the question, what's really more disrespectful? You guys thinking that if we make any kind of demonstration, or the fact that while the anthem is being played, you are yelling derogatory things at a time when we should be honoring the flag. So he brought that up last week as well. Look, you're right. Because everything's so hypersensitive right now, these are all going to be things that are going to be noticed and you know talked about. But, yeah, I don't think you should be changing the words to the song. In terms of the Rowdies, they just cheer loudly and get boisterous when Rockets Red Glare part of the song is. But, I mean, changing the words to the anthem, some people would say that's disrespectful.
Yeah, I mean, again, I don't know. I don't necessarily. I'm just asking you guys. I don't know how I feel about it. I did hear it and thought, it kind of felt disrespectful, but I don't know. You know what I mean? I just strike it as odd. And then I was reading this article on For the Win, and they were talking about it, and they were talking about how Bill Self, said something about, I think it's probably, it says, it's been a longstanding tradition in Kansas City sports and even ventured over to Kansas Jayhawks basketball games at Allen Fieldhouse, something head coach Bill Self and the university urged fans to stop doing. He said that it was basically quoted as saying, you know, especially in today's times when there's so much publicity and notoriety, rightfully so, to the men and women who sacrifice so much, I think it's probably not something we should do. But from a kid's standpoint, I don't think they know they are in poor taste doing it.
Now, when they were at the Jayhawks games, were they yelling Jayhawks or Chiefs?
Chiefs, because I think it's a Kansas City thing.
Okay. Well, it would be more of a Kansas thing then, right?
Yeah, I'm just reading what they wrote. I don't know. I don't know. It was my first thought was, wow, really? That's changing the national anthem as opposed to whatever else.
My last thought would be I think there's a kind of a built-in excuse for the Rockets, but they are changing the words technically because, you know, it's, yeah, because they're saying the Rock, because in the anthem, isn't it like the Rocket apostrophe S, like the it's showing ownership, like the Rockets.
But the word still comes out the same either way, the Rockets.
When you pronounce it.
Glare, so they but just it's cheer at that. They don't, like, change it. They're just cheering loudly and woo whenever it says Rockets.
Yeah. I guess they have a built-in excuse.
So they get kind of a pass out of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, but yeah, I mean, changing the lyrics constitutes disrespectful. I think that's how I
kind of feel that way as well. If you're shouting out different lyrics. But again, if they continue to do it, it's not going to be something I'm going to be upset about.
We talked about Buddy Balls, and Vernon wants to get in. Vernon, what's up? Vernon, you there? Hello, Vernon.
Once, twice.
Vernon.
No Vernon.
Damn it. Call back, Vernon.
Yeah, Vernon, if you got something, call back. I'm not sure what happened there, but probably the right time to get the Tommy Heinsohn thing in, though. NBA preseason basketball started last night.
Uh-huh.
And I know, I even tweeted that there's a lot of people that were already way too concerned with breaking down everything that happens in preseason games and trying to think that it's anywhere close to regular season, Kurt Lowe. But in the process of doing the preseason thing and everybody watching the Boston Celtics because everybody wanted to see Kyrie Irving last night, people forget about the fact that the Celtics also added center Aaron Baines, who had played with the Spurs, who's from Australia, and Hall of Famer and now broadcaster of the Celtics, Tommy Heinsohn, decided that he had paid special attention to Aaron Bane, and not just on the court, seemingly in the shower as well. So he decided that during the broadcast, he was going to make a little reference to the fact that Aaron Bane is really, shall I say, strong in certain areas.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Why?
Nick's
why?
Working on the audio. We're going to get it to you in a second or two. But yeah, so in the middle of the game, and of course, everybody's trying to check out the new look Celtics. And Tommy Heinsohn's talking about it, and they're talking about like the physicality, because Steven Adams is another one of those guys from Australia where everybody's like, oh, he's big and strong and bulky, and you know, he can do a lot of things. Well, Tommy Heinsohn just took it to another level. He wasn't talking about weight room. He literally references the fact that he saw Aaron Bane in the shower.
That's weird. It's kind of like watching a dog's balls as he walks away. Just kind of weird.
Look, Joel noticed them too.
That was probably the first thing that you noticed.
Joel's,
it's our dog.
Joel probably touched them.
No.
Let's be real.
Here's the idea.
Okay.
Yeah. Take a look at Baines in the shower. He looks like all of Australia. He is really put together. I took a look at Baines in the shower.
Are you kidding me?
He's really put together.
I didn't see him in the low post. I didn't see him in the weight room. I mean, I looked at him in the shower. Tommy, that is a little weird. And if you don't know, Tommy Heinsohn, like I said, is in the Hall of Fame as a player, but he's done Celtics games for a long time.
Hall of Fame.
I took a look at Baines in the shower.
Yeah, and so Tommy has these things called Tommy points. For like hustle things that happen during the game. And then at the end of the game, he gives away his Tommy Award for whoever had the most hustle Tommy points during the game. You think he gave a lot of Tommy points to Baines in the shower and that Baines took the first Tommy Award?
I don't know. That's weird. I don't know why you even. I mean, what makes you think that it's okay to be. That made Brent Musburger's stuff look tame.
That's
now.
An NBA broadcast, albeit in preseason.
He is really put together.
I mean, and then to follow it up with.
I wonder if he was winking while he was saying, he is really, wink, wink, put together. Wink, wink.
But then to put it up, where do you know your research from, Tom? Well, I mean, I looked at him in the shower. Are you kidding me?
That's creepy. Hey, shout out to Justin out there. He said he had to have his dog put down this morning. That's always tough.
Oh, I hate
that. That is tough.
I'm dreading that with the cats. I mean, I'm kind of dreading it. You know what I mean? Like, they're old. But I am dreading the day that that happens.
I'm telling you, and I've said this time and time again, I've lost family members. I've lost, suffered through a lot of loss in my life. Putting down my dog was one of the toughest days of my life. That's tough. Justin, very much thoughts out to you. That's tough.
Yeah. Sergeant in Baytown's like, he was talking about the airport pillows and Motrin PM for overseas flights. But then he brings up something that I have never heard mentioned, and I don't even know that I should be reading it. But he says, I haven't heard anyone talking about Marwin and PEDs. He's playing over his head.
What are you, Rob Dibble now?
Yeah, come on.
Seriously?
Sergeant, don't be like that.
I mean, it's the same way Dibble brought up Altuve and said, oh, he's got
to
be on something.
Just because he learned how to hit, don't be hating.
Yeah, dude, you know. I mean, he didn't put up Brady Anderson numbers. He just had a really good year. Those things happen. If you, you know, forget what Brady Anderson put up 60 bombs one year as a second baseman for the Orioles after averaging.
Center fielder.
No, Brady. I thought he also played second base.
I think he was just center fielder.
Oh, their second baseman did it too.
I'll
look it up, but yeah. I think it's Roberts. But all right, yeah, but the Orioles have had
Bip Roberts?
No, not Bip, but they had another. I'll look, Brian Roberts, I think.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Yeah, but I think they've had a couple. But yeah, it's not like he hit 61 bombs. He just had a really good year. He hit for average, and he matches career high for home runs?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not
leading
like
the team
the
in RBIs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a contract year. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
All right. Again, reminder, Jake Kaplan of the Chronicle joins us, the beat writer for the Astros at 3:15. So we'll talk Astros and his preliminary guess as to what the playoff roster is going to look like, who's on, who's off, and plenty more to talk about in the meantime and in between time. So we'd love for you to join us if you'd like to be a part of the show and be a usual suspect. HRP listener line, call or text 713-780-3776 or hit us on Twitter. Back with a whole lot more in just mere minutes right here on 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects, hour one of the three-hour extravaganza, 1 to 4 p.m. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel as we continue to roll on. Nick, I have tweeted out that Tommy Heinsohn.
Hilarious audio.
Audio, in case you guys want that for your ringtone or to do something else with it. But that was rather hilarious as we got to that. But we got baseball tonight, boys. We've got a little Yankees and Twins. Just real quick, because it still always hits me a little bit funny when you talk about a wild card. It's a game. It's not a series. And as much as a team plays 162 games to get into the playoffs, they lose one game, they're done. The Astros did it to the Yankees a few years ago. But I just, even if it's a best of three series, I realize they got to get the playoffs going and it's pitchers and all that other stuff. But that's a tough deal where you can celebrate getting in, and within one game, you're gone.
Yeah, it wasn't done for any other reason other than to build more drama down
sure,
the stretch.
Down the stretch, right. Yep.
You know, the Seattles of the world and the Anaheim Angels of the world felt like they were in it to the end, and it gives their fans hope for next year. Hey, we were so close to making the playoff. Well, you were close to getting into the one-game elimination for the playoffs.
Right.
But they like to pump it up, and I'm okay with it being one game. Like you said, I don't necessarily think we need to drag on the season. If anything, I want to add, I would like to make the division series seven games and just leave the wild card. Just leave the wild card as a play-in game, and that's fine.
Yeah.
I'm good with it. I mean, yeah. I think you have to make decisions now, because I was watching the MLB Network this morning and they were talking about setting up your rotation. Like, do you go with your ace in the wild card game? Or do you save that? Because Mike Lowell was talking about the fact that, well, Smoltz is like, yeah, you pitch your ace. You go out there and, you know, I think that was Smoltz's take, was you pitch your ace. And Mike Lowell was saying, you know, you the no, Smoltz was saying the goal is to win the World Series, so you have to pitch your ace twice. So you can't pitch your ace in the wild card game because then you're in trouble for if you know to the divisional round. And Mike Lowell's point was you can't go to the World Series if you're not if you don't get past the wild card round.
If you don't win the game, right?
So his point was you go in there with your guns blazing and don't leave anything in the in the chamber. And I'm kind of the same way. I mean, you have to. This is why you hope you have a roster good enough and a rotation good enough and deep enough to be able to carry you until your A's can pitch again and maybe they go on short rest. But, yeah, I'm of the opinion that I'm throwing my best guy at you in the wild card.
Well,
because I'm at least buying myself three more games.
The Twins are obviously doing that with Irvin Santana, who's been their best pitcher all year long. So they're going to throw their ace. And the Yankees kind of have gone back and forth, but they're throwing Luis Severino with the thought that they have other guys that could be – quote-unquote aces that are ready to go, whether it be Tanaka or CeCe Sabathia, guys like that. So they figure they're going to be okay either way. But, you know, I'm of the school of thought, like you said. I mean, the bottom line is you're not getting to the divisional series if you don't win this game. So you got to – even if you got to go through three or four pitchers, you exhaust every resource to get there and then worry about how you're setting up what you got left going into a five-game series because at least you're there.
Yeah, and Severino is probably their ace as far as, you know, consistency. I mean, he's leading the team in strikeouts.
Yeah, body of work.
ERA, yeah. I mean, I know Sabathia and all that and Sonny Gray, but yeah, Severino's been the glue in that rotation, really.
Yeah, no doubt. But at the same time, like I said, the main thing in making that point was they can throw him tonight, and they still have three guys that have been the ace on a staff in the past that aren't going to be like pushovers come opening round of the divisional series, should they get there.
Yeah.
Minnesota, you know, not quite that stocked in terms of pitching, but you knew that, look, this is a big deal for the Twins. The Twins have proven over the years, too, they're trying to get a monkey off their back that they can't beat the Yankees in the playoffs anyway, so they got to throw it all. This is a team that lost 100 games a year ago, so Paul Molitor, yeah, happy to be there, sure, but if they're going to go for it, they're going to go for it.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at playoff teams, Minnesota by far is the worst as far as pitching and rotation. Right. And I think they're in the bottom half of the league in pitching, at least ERA-wise. Everyone else, it's crazy when you look at it. I mean, Cleveland, this is the order of the top 10 in pitching and ERA in the majors, not American League, National League, in the majors. Cleveland, the Dodgers, Arizona, Boston, New York. That's your top five. All playoff teams.
Yeah.
Washington, Chicago, Tampa Bay, Milwaukee, St. Louis. So once you get to 8, 9, and 10... Now, you notice there's a team missing from the top 10.
Yeah, that would
10.
Be the Houston Astros.
Yeah, they are 11. Angels, 12. And then Pittsburgh, Toronto, and all that.
Milwaukee's
Colorado
up there,
is 17. Yeah, Milwaukee is 9.
That's weird.
Colorado is 17. And then Minnesota is 19 in ERA. So those are, you know, a couple of wild card teams that hadn't pitched all that well.
So you got wild card games tonight, tomorrow night. Tonight, the American League. Tomorrow night, the National League. Colorado and Arizona, two really good teams, and one's got to go, too. So that'll be interesting as well. The winner gets the Dodgers, and you got to believe Zach Greinke is going to be on the hill for the Diamondbacks. So that would definitely play into what we were just talking about and the fact that you got to go with your ace, but at the same time, then you're going to be short that first start from your big gun going against the Dodgers, who have plenty of arms in their starting rotation.
Who you got in that game between Arizona and the Rockies?
It's at Arizona with Greinke on the hill. I got to believe the way J.D. Martinez has been hitting to help Goldschmidt and everything along, I'm going to take Arizona at home.
Yeah, when we picked on Sunday as well because we weren't going to be back by the time the game was played, but I went with the Rockies just because they were my – sentimentally, they were my pick at the beginning of the year to make the playoffs. And it was more of a, like I said, sentimental pick. But, yeah, in one game, I don't know that I trust any of those Rockies pitchers. They're power pitchers now, so that's good.
Yep.
I mean, that helps a little bit. They're not in Colorado, so the pitching should be a little more effective.
Altitude's not a factor.
But, yeah, I'll take Greinke.
And what about the American League? Everybody thinks it's a slam dunk. It's the Yankees.
Yeah, I think that the Twins might surprise some people a little bit that haven't seen them play all year, but I still think the Yankees, the problem is, you know, once you start having to pitch around Judge and you start creating base runners, and that can be an issue. And But I'll take the Yankees overall. But just don't be surprised if either of the underdogs, the Rockies or the Minnesota Twins,
say,
win these games.
Things have happened.
Those are both really good baseball teams.
And you remember everybody had the Yankees a few years ago because they were at home and the Astros went and beat them. The difference to me is Minnesota's got a few good players with other role players around them. But when you look at the Yankees lineup and you talked about it, when you look at a guy like Didi Gregorius, you might as well check him for steroids then too because he had a career year. But when you look at Judge and you mentioned Gregor, you know, all the guys that they have, there's really not a bunch of weaker links in that lineup as opposed to, yeah, you have Brian Dozier. Yeah, you got Joe Mauer. But around them, not a whole lot there. So we'll see.
Statistically, the Yankees obviously have put up numbers and they can pitch. I mean, they're second in the majors in runs scored, but it's been one of those things where they had those, there was a time when their lineup struggled a little bit, so they can be had. And Santana is a quality ace, who he's struggled for a while, but he's all right now. I think the game I'm most excited about though is that Diamondbacks Rockies series. You've got two MVP candidates on both teams.
Yeah.
And Blackman and Arenado, and then although a lot of people are saying JD Martinez is an MVP candidate, and I think Switch coming over in the trade halfway through, I don't know that I necessarily agree, but a lot of people, he's on a lot of people's list. When you look at the numbers
September
he's put
numbers
up,
alone
have kept him in it.
All world numbers. When you talk about the likes of who's done that and when, I forget exactly who it was, but more home runs than anybody since one of the Hall of Famers back in like the early 1900s, you're like, you realize that was a September for the ages, but I'm with you. You cross over leagues, you're never going to get the votes, you're never going to get the attention, and you weren't an MVP candidate in the American League. So
yeah, and his OPS is just ridiculous.
One-time Astro, by the way.
Yeah. But yeah, so that's going to be a fun game for me to watch, seeing all those MVP candidates. And then, I wouldn't mind that at all.
That would have been a great
five-game
series.
Yeah, for sure.
So we've got a game tonight, game tomorrow night, and then the Astros' first game on Thursday afternoon. And there's a controversy there that we can get to, but that game, MLB Network. Wah, wah, wah. So a lot of people not happy about that, but we can talk about that as we get into things too if you'd like. But the Astros open up on Thursday at Minute Maid in the afternoon against the Red Sox. Right now I want to tell you about my good friends at Infuse Energy, Josh Pesikoff and his staff doing a great job getting you great affordable energy rates and always giving you customer service without trying to pull the wool over your eyes or screw you out in any way. They do a great job from the time you call them. You're not going to get an automated system. You're going to get a human being on the phone, and they're going to ask you questions to try and identify exactly what you need for your home or your business. They're 100% green energy at your fingertips. You sign up, you choose a green plan. It offsets your electricity use with renewable energy credits, and that decreases your carbon footprint. And from there, they get to work for you. They're never going to confuse, deceive, or try and trick you. You're going to always understand your plan, and you're going to know your bill, how much your plan costs, when your contract expires, and what rate you're paying. And sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes they're even going to tell you, hey, the competition has a better price than we do. You'd probably be better off going there. But they're going to be 100% honest. That's the way they do business. That's the way you want your energy company to do business. So give them a call and check them out. 844-INFUSE2. That's 844-463-8732. Or log on to infuseenergy.com. Right off the top, you mentioned ESPN 97.5. You get a $25 bill credit, and then the process goes on from there so that they can get you a plan that fits your business or personal needs. Infuse Energy. Get Infuse Energy and infuse energy into your life.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on hour number one of The Usual Suspects. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel. We're here for you as we continue to roll on through. If you want to join the show, as we always say, 713-780-3776. You can text, you can call, or you can hit us up on Twitter. And we were talking baseball. We were talking about the wild card games tonight and tomorrow night. Also, some other interesting stories coming out of Major League Baseball. One in particular, thank God you got Jeff Luhnow doing your stuff as a general manager for your Astros, and the fact that he not only rebuilt the farm system, but he pretty much knows how to do things the right way and nail the Cardinals when they're trying to do things the wrong way. But there are more than just the Cardinals doing some shady things, Barry.
Yeah, John Coppolello, the Braves GM, is in trouble for having some shady draft practices both domestically and internationally. And he has stepped down, and it's not looking good for the Braves. They haven't released the things that he did, but what they're saying is that they could be losing some of their best prospects because of what he's done. So right now, many regard the Braves as having the best farm system in the majors, and depending on what Major League Baseball finds, and apparently their investigation is wrapping up, hence him moving on. But it's not looking good for the Braves, and it's one of those things that it's been labeled as serious rules violations in the international player market by Major League Baseball. But it's one of those things where you look at it, and every team kind of has to follow certain rules when it comes to international players and budgets and, you know, how much you can spend on them.
Yeah,
the Astros spent all their money chasing Gurriel and a few other guys, and so you have to be cognizant of that. But we don't know what he's done, but it'll be interesting to find out, A, what he's done, and B, what the penalty is, because this could set – the Braves are already a team that's kind of fledgling, right? They've got some stars. They've got Freeman and a few other guys, but it's one of those things where if these guys aren't allowed to come up through their farm system, this could set the Braves – I mean, this could – not necessarily a death penalty, but this could set that franchise back even longer.
This is a guy that was trying to make a name for himself while taking over this job.
Yep.
He was credited with turning around what was one of the most depleted farm systems in all of baseball. And now here's a guy that's going to be labeled as the poster child for doing things illegally. Like you said, they say that this is just the tip of the iceberg, that there were so many different things that have occurred. And like you said, the big thing now is going to be, and other teams are going to be clamoring, because it looks like they could start losing some of these prospects that they got based on these practices that he was going through when he was the GM. That'll be really interesting to follow, because there's some quality baseball players in their system.
Yeah, and like I said, this could end up not necessarily being a death penalty, but it could set them back years.
Yeah,
based on what he's done. So, and then Yahoo Sports was saying that this, what he's done and what they're finding, could just be the tip of the iceberg based on information and sources that they have. So, wait and see. Glad it's not the Astros, I'll tell you that.
I'm telling you what, no doubt. I mean, especially what they went through with the Cardinals and tapping into their emails and everything. Other news out of baseball with the playoffs ready to start. Pete Rose out based on everything that's popped up about what he has done in the past or hasn't done or has been talked about doing with underaged women back in the day. So he's out. Big Poppy and Keith Hernandez will join the Fox Studio Show.
You looking forward to Big Poppy?
I've always been a Big Poppy fan. My problem is I'm a Big Poppy fan. I'm a Pedro Martinez fan. But sometimes, it's no fault of theirs, but obviously English isn't their first language. Sometimes it's a little tough to understand what they bring to the table, because they bring so much and you really get dialed into them, telling a story, or they set it up for them to tell a story and you're kind of like, wait, what? You kind of go back on the DVR and rewind it, but they got good stuff. So
I think it's, for me, it's just what insight do they bring? You know what I mean? Because a lot of guys tend to keep it real superficial and maybe not tell all the tricks of the trade. That's why I love what Tony Romo does in the booth, because he kind of takes you inside the mind of a quarterback or a coach or a signal caller or in the huddle and everything else. And that's what we want as fans of these games, is we want to know what's going on. However, baseball is a bit of a different sport. It's a bit of a different tradition. Guys a lot of times keep some of this stuff close to the vest and won't let us know all the tricks of the trade. So if they expose us to some of that, then I don't care what they sound like. As long as I get that information, I'm happy.
Here's where I'm going with this too. I'm with you in that, but I want to hear what Pedro has to say, because he has no filter. He just lets it fly, and he gives you great stuff.
Yep.
A-Rod, you already know, is never going to be a straight shooter.
No.
He's all fluff and polish. And the Big Hurt was disappointing. The Big Hurt, when he gets chances where he could really delve into his stories and his past, he kind of, like you said, he sidesteps him and just takes the middle of the road. You know Keith Hernandez already from Mets broadcast this year. He's not afraid to let it fly. He'll take a shot at whoever, whenever, and call people out.
Isn't he the also in the Just for Men commercials?
Yep, he is with Walt
Those
Frazier.
Those are terrible.
Yeah, and, yes, they are. And he also was caught smoking all the time in the dugout when he played for the Mets.
Oh, that's right.
But he's not afraid to let it fly. He's done on Seinfeld. He's got some, you know, he's got a little personality too, but he at least calls it like he sees it. Big Poppy seems to be that way. Like I said, I love what Pedro brings. It's just sometimes a little bit hard to understand. But Pete Rose, I thought, was one of those guys, too. He was always going to speak his mind, and taking him off the broadcast, at least they get some guys, hopefully, that'll try and do the same.
Wait, Poppy's doing broadcasts?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
I thought he was just doing pre and post.
Well, but that's part of the broadcast. I mean, he's going to be on the telecast.
But but he's not doing play-by-play, like color analyst. No. Okay, that's what
These
I thought you meant.
These guys are all going to be studio analysts.
Whew, I was going to say, yeah, now I'm going to have to watch with the sound down.
Thank God John Smoltz does games, because he is kind of like Tony Romo is, kind of like we were talking about how we love Blummer on the Astros games. But he brings you so much from an experience standpoint, but still is in touch with, you know, social media and the current things that are going on with analytics. I love listening to Smoltz call games, and they're going to keep their in-game guys to the same way. They're just going to have to shuffle the deck in the studio.
I'm okay on Smoltz. He's not one of my favorites. I'll tell you a guy that I always felt like gave the best insight, and you know, like I like listening to John Kruk. I think he calls a good game. He was funny and interesting when he had good stories. But Doug Glanville broke a game down, and specifically, you know, at the plate and in the outfield, better than most people I've listened to. I thought the insight he gave was Romo-esque in what he talked about, and the broadcasting, I think, is missing out with not having Doug Glanville calling games. He's so good at it. Smoltz gives you some stuff, and especially from a pitcher's perspective, and how to attack hitters, but man, for my money, I'll take Doug Glanville over everybody.
I love Smoltz, and I think that what he brings is, you know, so much insight from, like you said, from a pitch-by-pitch perspective in baseball. Unfortunately, John Kruk, after the ESPN stint, when ESPN made all these changes, and Doug Glanville were the guys that were casualties.
Yep.
And I used to like it when Glanville was broadcasting as the third announcer from center field, because he could call things from an outfield perspective.
Yep.
And that gave you that same kind of insight. That looks like where we're going in from a broadcast perspective. We talked about Tony Romo. We talked about Gruden. Gruden, again, last night, was trying to be more Tony Romo-esque, telling you, oh, with this formation, it looks like this is happening. You know someone's in his ear going, this is getting so much attention in what Romo's doing that it's going to be a precedent that's set that their other networks are going to want their top guys to be able to do the same thing. It's easier for Romo because he's just stepped away from the game. But from a coaching perspective, you got to believe Gruden's seen a lot of this, because he was definitely trying to do it last night.
I think I mentioned it last week that he was doing it, because at one point he was like, well, you know, I've won some games in the Super Bowl or whatever. And yeah, you can tell that he's trying to, you know, mimic some of what Tony Romo is doing. The difference is, though, I think it's more natural for Romo now than Gruden, who's been away for a while and more polished as a broadcaster. And not that Gruden, you know, the game hasn't passed Gruden by any stretch of the imagination, but he's a year removed from being in the huddle. You know what
exactly.
I mean? So, yeah.
I like the way Gruden calls a game. I just don't like the fact that, like I told you guys last week, he was like giving everybody the greatest of all time moniker.
Yeah.
And when he called the punter for like the Niners, a 14-year player, was like one of the greatest punters of all time. No one even knew his name. I was like, okay, that might be a bit much, John. Just stay in your lane. Keep doing what you do. I love the way you call a game. But you don't have to try and be Tony Romo, because more people tune in because he's John Gruden.
Yeah.
Because he's got enough personality.
I love him some Chucky.
Yeah, no doubt. Weird. Did you see that last night in the game? Very interesting. He refused, you know, the broadcasters allowed in practice. Well, he used to work with Andy Reid.
Yep. One of his best friends.
Yeah, and his brother coaching the Redskins.
Yeah.
He told Andy Reid, who allowed him and invited him to come into practice, he goes, I'm not going to do that to you. There's going to be too many people that would be pointing fingers and thinking it would be weird, or I might give away secrets because my brother's on the other side. So I'm going to pass, and I'm not going to go to Chiefs practice because of it. I thought that was a class move. I don't think a lot of people on the surface would have thought of that.
I don't know that I would have either.
Yeah.
Yeah, good for him.
And his son, by the way, is the assistant strength coach for the Redskins. And I guess at 5'5", he was once like a powerlifting champion. That dude is pretty rocked up for a 5'5" Chucky.
Big swole.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, we'll continue with a whole bunch more. We got one in the books, two to go, plenty more of the big show. But right now I want to tell you, if you're a soccer fan, in particular if you're a Dynamo fan, your Dynamo are taking on Cruz Azul on Thursday, October the 5th, in the 2017 BBVA Compass Dynamo Charities Cup at BBVA Compass Stadium. Stop by the following BBVA Compass branches between 3 and 5 p.m. this Wednesday, October 4th, for your chance to score a pair of tickets to the match. The Sugarland location, the 290 in Rose Hill, Atascocita, Buffalo Speedway, Medical Center, Champions, Sterling Ridge, and Kingwood. Wednesday, October 4th, between 3 and 5 p.m., your chance to score tickets to the 2017 BBVA Compass Dynamo Charities Cup between the Dynamo and Cruz Azul. BBVA Compass, creating opportunities.